Vision 7 Radio Network welcomes Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, heard every Monday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Using nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence, quantum physics, consciousness research, and ancient writings, we seek to understand who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Join Roberta weekly to better understand our one reality and gain insights into how we can make the most of the glorious eternal beings that we are.
Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you can be with us today. You know, for most Americans, mediumship is what happens when spiritual mediums mind read with our dead loved ones. The information received is usually limited to a few words, phrases, and mental pictures that the survivor might find evidential or might not. We're trying to make sure our loved ones are still alive and fine, and we want to know that for certain this is the person that the medium is in contact with. But frankly, I've always been skeptical of mediums. And then about 15 years ago, I spent a lot of money, actually, assessing the best recommended mediums I could find. But even those who charged many hundreds of dollars, in one case actually over $1,000, gave me mainly vague communications that could have come from anyone. I mean, your grandmother is proud of you is hardly evidence that grandma has survived. Fortunately, there are other kinds of mediumship that were better known 100 or more years ago, and in Great Britain especially, they are starting to make a comeback, and they're actually making a comeback here too. Our guest this week is the British and Scandinavian medium, Marion Dampier-Jeans. Marion was born in Denmark and has a Danish father, which makes me feel an immediate connection because I'm probably the only third generation American living who traces on every line back to good old Denmark. It's an odd distinction, but it's a proud one for me and for a reason that I'll share with you sometime. Maybe even if we have time, I'll share it today. Every good medium I ever have known has at least one parent who is naturally gifted, and for Marion, it was her Norwegian mother. She moved to England in 1969, and she has been working as a medium in spiritualist churches, and she's learned all about physical mediumship, which makes her very valuable to us, really, as a communicator on what's going on there. She even sat with independent voice medium Leslie Flint. We've got to talk about that. More recently, Marion has been working to bring spiritualism back to Scandinavia, and now she wonderfully joins us all the way from Great Britain. Welcome, Marion. I'm so thrilled you're here.
Thank you very much. What an introduction. Thank you.
Now she's wondering, what the heck is it about Denmark that I'm so proud of? Well, I'll tell you. If we have time, I'll tell you today. Otherwise, I'll tell you off air. Now, first, how did you come to know about your mother's gifts? Because she was gifted, right?
Yes, she was. It's just stories she has told me herself, or the family has told me, specifically about the Norwegian part of my family. I think that if we sort of look at that sort of side of it, you will find out that the whole family, and I mean everybody in the family, from her side and my side, of course, has all had spiritual activities, both physically and mentally, for generations. It's just something that's there. I just hear the most wonderful stories, even, you know, no less than about a couple of hours ago. I heard yet another story for some of my family members. And because of that, you know, it's absolutely interesting to see it hasn't skipped a generation at all with any of our family members in Norway. But my father, who was born in Denmark, and I was also born in Denmark, but now, you know, with a Norwegian mother, he was into spiritualism in Denmark from the year 1930-ish, thereabout. So he also understood everything there were around spiritualism, and also, of course, had his own experiences through his life. So being sort of brought up, if you like, in a spiritual family, it was just talked about, or if we saw something, it was just accepted. And that's how, you know, the whole of my childhood were.
See, this is interesting, and everyone please pay attention to this. If it's in your family, we don't really know what the genetic connection is, but there's some kind of genetic connection, because this is a typical story. Everybody I've ever known who was really, really had the gift could trace it back, in some cases on both sides. But you're saying your Danish side didn't have it, right?
No, only my father, because my father was about 17 years older than my mother, and he was over 40 when he had me. So a lot of his family has passed over, if you like, before I was born. So my mother's family is the large family in which she came up from North Norway. So because of that, you see, we had so much connection with her family. And that is also a very large family, you know, in which I'm very, very close to. But if we look at my father's family at the moment, I don't have any thing actually left there in Denmark. So if that, though I always go to Denmark because I work in the whole of Scandinavia, so what I can explain is my father had it, but as far as knowing if his family had it or, you know, he had I just don't know. He had 10 siblings, but all those were dead because my father was the youngest one that was born.
Oh, and he was 40 when you met him, so of course.
So what are
your own gifts? Just quickly.
Well, when I was in, obviously when I was little, I had the gift of both clairvoyant, but also the physical part of it, which I think comes from my Norwegian side of the family. And I have been working in Great Britain for the last 47 years as a medium on what we call the Spiritualist Church's platform, and has traveled up and down the country. So I have always been involved with mental mediumship, but also, of course, because of the link with my mother's side, which is the Norwegian side, has always been very interesting in the physical part of it, and was very lucky that I actually have seen physical mediumship at its best, I have to say. And as you said it yourself, I sat many of times with Leslie Flint in Paddington in London, and that was something that was extraordinary. But after that, it really was, because you have never seen anything like it, and I don't think we see it today neither, I have to say.
Well, so can you tell me what, or tell the listeners really, how would you define physical mediumship? Because obviously we're not mind reading with the dead. What is physical mediumship in your view?
I mean, the physical mediumship, you have got the mental part of the mediumship, or you've got the physical part of the mediumship. And I think that people mix those two up constantly, where the mental is mainly, as it says, mental within the mind. It's what the medium can see or can listen to, where the physical is outside the medium, where everybody who's gathering can see or hear spirit. That's a simple translation of it. So that's mental and physical mediumship. So when you go and see the physical mediumship, it's done either you have an experiment within a circle, or you have research, or you have something where you have the manifestation. You can either have it through ectoplasm, or we have now got what is called new energy coming in. Everybody who's gathering that sees or hears spirit, or in the case of touching spirit, have a conversation with spirit and so forth. That's a very different, but also the most rare.
Yeah. Now, so everyone, ectoplasm is simply something produced. It seems to be like a sugar-based substance produced by the mind of the body of the medium, which is used by the spirits to, you know, manifest themselves.
That's
I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But you said there's a new kind of energy also that they produce?
Yeah, they call it the new energy, where they don't actually need to have a cabinet, because at the, in the physical sciences, which you are using the traditional part of it, which is ectoplasm based, you have got a new yes. energy where you have got one or two mediums, if you like, and they can then start to build up spirit and they can start having the phenomena. And Robin Foy, of course, was the one who sat with his circle up in Norfolk, where he sat with the new energy and had fantastic results over it, which was absolutely fantastic. You know, so you have got it. It's two ways. So when I actually go and do my own investigation and sit with various different mediums, you see often that two different kind of mediumship is being used: the ectoplasm based, but also the energy based.
Wow. All right. Well, so people are saying, okay, what the heck? What makes this so spectacular? You said you've seen some amazing things. Mm-hmm. Can you just quickly describe something before we go to break?
The first time I was ever involved, and this is not with Leslie Flint, that was well before Leslie Flint. I was invited in London, in Brixton, in London, to come in and sit under physical mediumship. At that time, I mustn't have been any more than about, I'd up 25 or thereabout. I was asked to go and sit in this circle, and there was another lady sitting next to me. Neither her and I have been to a physical circle before. So if you can imagine a room, a little red light in the corner, the light just get dimmed a bit, and suddenly you hear the most loudest crash, and you went, and what on earth is that? And you actually start to see building up from the floor ectoplasm being built up, and in that ectoplasm you saw a hand coming out, you saw a face coming out, and you saw this figure literally going towards a lady sitting next to me. Now, cutting the story short, and that is that the lady sitting next to me, what she saw was her son, who had passed over only about six or seven, I think, weeks before his passing in a tragic accident. And those two was allowed to talk together for roughly about a minute or two. And I just remember my mouth was open. We have a word in England, we call it, I was blooming gobsmacked. I just sat there looking. But that's what I have seen. I have seen what can be done with ectoplasm. I have also seen what can be done from the old-fashioned point of view, which, you know, going back many, many years. I have never seen this ever since, I have to say.
But what you're saying is that because of that little red light, you were able to see all of this.
That's right.
That amazing?
I don't sit in the dark. I don't want to sit in the dark. There's too many things happening in the dark. It's called fraud. I don't want to have part of it. So everything we are doing now is in the light.
So every seance that you participate in is held in some kind of light. How much light is allowed in order for it still to work?
Well, there is different kind of lights, I have to say, because I have been working on this for years. In one of my own physical circle I sat in, we go back to 1990, we was actually told then by spirit by a Danish physical medium who's passed over called Ejnar Nielsen. And he turned around and he said that we do not wish for anybody to sit in the dark, but we will produce our own light in which you can sit in. And we thought, whoa, that's great. But at that time, we already had like a little red light. You can turn it down or up. Or I have to turn around and say to you, spirit will actually do it themselves. So they have the right form of light. So it was back in 1990, when I first heard that spirit would no longer wish to sit in darkness. And I have to say, and I have to explain to everybody, I was thumbed down by the British mediums and researchers about sitting in the light. And it kept on saying, this should never be done. This has never been done. We shouldn't sit there. It's all wrong.
Wow,
and it just went on and on and on. And I stuck to my guts. And today I'm turning around, and every time I see the medium, I just sit there and I laugh. And I have to say, I look at them and say, told you so, because now they're sitting in the light. But I have also seen with Kite Muggi, which is the German physical medium, who I have known for years and years. I actually sat with him in Germany and watched his development going on. And last time I had him in Denmark, in this virtual church in Denmark, he actually produced with spirit their own light that was sitting in the ceiling, believe it or not. So we all could sit and wave to each other. And that light, I have to say, stood still up there for nearly half an hour.
Well, the thing, and now people are thinking, well, why shouldn't you have light? Well, here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Ectoplasm has historically been very sensitive to light. Mm-hmm. So physical mediums were unable to produce it if there was any light at all. Then they began to gradually be able to have a little red light, which mm-hmm. allowed us at least to see something. Mm-hmm. But we have known that the direction was toward developing the kind of ectoplasm, I guess, that's not reactive. What can happen if you're sitting in the dark and there's a sudden influence of light into the room, influx of light into the room? It can kill the medium. The ectoplasm snaps back into the medium's body, and it can cause extreme injury or death. So that's why we've been so religious about lack of light. And I'm so thrilled to hear about light, because physical mediums working in the light will be one of the ways in which the people we used to think were dead are finally going to reveal the truth to us about the fact that they are there.
Absolutely.
That is all very very exciting.
But it has taken years. It has taken years. Please, Roberta, you've got to understand that. But you also have to understand that there has been physical manifestation in the light going right the way back to the 18th century. So this really isn't new. I have just a feeling that somehow, I don't know why it is or why this was done, but it was the medium in the 19th that went in and start sitting in the dark. And I have to say that I have seen the most horrendous fraud that took place in the dark.
Yes, and we've heard about it.
And damn it, if I'm going to be part of that, that's not my medium.
I love it. You know, you're the first person ever to swear on reality.
It has to be said. I don't serve food to fool gladly. Do you see what I mean? I really don't.
Yes. I love it. Oh, you and I are going to be good friends. This is great. Now, one of the things I'm excited really about in talking to you is that you sat with Leslie Flint.
Right.
Please tell people about what Leslie Flint did and why it was so amazing.
Leslie Flint was what we call an independent voice medium, which means that you have a voice that would activate itself, or it would be an ectoplasm mask sitting either on the top of Leslie Flint's head or next to him, or it can move all over the place. At the time when I met Leslie Flint, there's some very funny stories about me and Leslie, when I first met Leslie, it was literally in England as a psychic dinner and dance. And that was,
with dancing, I love that.
Yes, it's right, you know. We used to meet in a huge big hotel, and then all the mediums and healers and everything, everybody else from around Great Britain will actually go there. And we would then actually have, you know, dinners, and then we will have talk, and then we could sit and talk to each other, and then we'll have dancing and things like that. So I first met him there many, many years ago. And then, you know, I think about two or three years later, I was invited to go and see Leslie. Leslie had a very nice place where he worked. It was like you have to go down some stairs and you walked into a room. It looked a little bit like a cinema, if you like, because it had these seats that goes up and down, and it was all in a long row around sort of where he was working. But Leslie Flint is the only medium that I have known that was full awake and still spirit will speak. And you could sit there and you could, you could hear Mickey, which was one of his guides, will come on. And then suddenly another voice will suddenly come in and talk on top of both Leslie and Mickey, and they will all be talking together. And Leslie will sit there and sort of ask maybe Mickey to go and do something for him on the other side of life. And then he will suddenly nip off, and the other voice will then come in. But on the other hand, Leslie will sit there, and I don't know what happened to him. Now he'll be going, he will go like this. And you will hear Mickey turn around and say to him, "Oh, stop snorting, will you?" And then, you know, yeah. And then you would hear, then you suddenly heard, you know, Leslie saying, "Don't be stupid. Who are you calling stupid? I just said it to you." And they would start talking, and we all burst out laughing because, in a sense of it, a waste of admiration. It was funny to listen to those two being in totally conversation with each other. But what I like, you see, and this is again my little investigation, their active voices was on top of each other. So it wasn't just one, then the next, and no, delayed on top of each other. You could hear them speaking at the same time.
Oh, that's amazing. Now,
that's it.
People want to know how these voices were produced. Was there a voice box that you could see, or was there a process like that with ectoplasm?
That has to be, from having what we call an independent voice, you need to build up this what is called ectoplasm in a voice box. And then you will start to hear the voices coming through the voice box. But, you know, when you use the ectoplasm, the only reason for why they're using a voice box, let me explain that to people, and that is that when you have passed over to the other side of life, you are in spirit form. You don't actually have your liver, you don't have your kidney, you don't have any internal part of you. So they are making, we call it a voice box, but they actually are making lyrics. They are reproducing the lyrics. So they can put spirit, the sort of head in, if you like, or they can put the head towards the lyrics, and that way they can speak to people who wants to hear them. But you also often hear that spirit will sort of saying, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" They're very unsure because they don't neither have the hearing at the moment. So you have to build these things up, and that's what Leslie Flint, you know, did when he sat. Though Leslie Flint did not sit in the light at the time, it was dark, but you could still see what was going on because that his room wasn't dark, if you like.
Just
and you
dim.
Could always and you always knew where he was because of where the voices kept on coming from.
So
but I said, you know, it was interesting because more than one voice will then go around the room.
It's really amazing what he did. Many famous people spoke through him. You would swear it was that person speaking. Mm-hmm. My own experience of it is that the entity who once was Thomas Jefferson spoke through him as Thomas Jefferson in, I believe, around 1960. I was in Thomas Jefferson's lifetime as when he was old. I was a young person. And when I heard that voice, it was him. And I mean, it really was him. It was amazing. And the thing about that people need to understand is they have to basically remember how sounded and then they have to reconfigure that voice box to produce
that
sound, and it's apart from a body. It is amazing how accurate the voices are. I can't get over that.
Yeah, and also I have to say to you that, you know, I also witnessed that my own father came through. And what was very interesting, then you heard this voice saying, "Hello, hello, er det dig, Marion? Er du der?" That was Danish.
Yes!
And that was
he didn't know Danish, did he? No.
Yes.
No.
That was no one in the room except for me that was Danish. And I went, "Yeah, I understood that." And you heard Mickey saying, "Is he a foreign?"
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So I said, yes, it's my dad. I understood what it was. And I had, of course, a little message. But then my father was very proud and says, "Well, I have learned English. I can try to translate it into English." And he did. So that was quite fun. But that was typical of my father's sense of humor. So that also came out.
This is exciting. I mean, this is quite different from having somebody mind reading with your dead people. If someone you knew and loved in life is talking to you, there's just no question. If you're interested in Leslie Flint, and if you're not interested in him, you should be, just Google him and you'll find there are many, many recordings. There's a website. Do you know the website or offhand? Because I think you'll find it, people, if we just Google it.
You just have to go in and Google it and you will find it straight off.
And because you ought to hear some of this in order to really understand how amazing it is. Now, one of the things that that you had done is go back to the Nordic countries and try to introduce spiritualism and a heightened awareness of this kind of mediumship there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Because I was told in 1990 in my home physical circle, when we had physical medium Aitla Nielsen coming through, asking me to take it back to Scandinavia because they have lost it totally.
Yes.
That was due to a lot of scandal that was lying and things like that, which was really sad. And, you know, I did go back, I think, 10 years later, and I have been operating in the whole of Scandinavia, plus Iceland and Greenland, where I have been done my work or done research and things like that, which also meant that when I started to write books, they became instantly bestsellers in Scandinavia, which is not heard of, that books like spiritual book could suddenly be classified as bestsellers.
Really?
But when you see a book in Denmark, I'm a bestseller. We are told we have sold 7,000 copies, and here comes Marion. I'm a bestseller. I've sold 250,000.
Wow.
but you don't recognize it because this is not literature, which is absolutely nonsense.
It's ridiculous,
you know. So, but yeah, going back to Scandinavia, I obviously came back and trying to explain it to people and try to explain to people that we have always had spiritualism within Scandinavia. We have actually had some of the most fantastic mediums ever in Scandinavia, but was never really talked about. I mean, some of them was known in England, but today I have to say Aitla Nielsen has become a known medium because of I had tried to bring him through. He passed in 1965. But after that one, we also had an investigator in Denmark called Svend Tjørk. And Svend Tjørk was a well-known photographer. But what he did, he started to look into what he would call levitation and things like that. So what he did, he had a laboratorium in Copenhagen, and he tried to do a research to find mediums that could come in and sit with him in his laboratorium. And one of the mediums that came into his laboratorium to work with him was a lady called Annemie Lone Rasmussen. And Annemie Lone Rasmussen, she was one of those people who had an extreme telekinesis with her. And she came in, and as soon as she walks in there, the table lifted on its own in the air. All the cutlery in the house start to move around. Doors was going up and down. All the chairs she sat on was in the air. Everybody was on the floor. But the good part about this is, do you know what that is? He took photograph of it all. I have it on my website. You see the pictures on the website. He literally, because he was such a famous photographer, he knew how to take pictures, and he had four cameras. He had two up in the ceiling, two on the ground, and there he were, literally taking photograph. The only sad thing that I would like to say, I'm actually talked to a scientist in Denmark about this one. He also made a film about the levitation, about the strength of spirit. You saw Annemie Lone Rasmussen and another medium called Biver, who actually flew in the air. And you see him sitting in the air. It took pictures of him sitting in the air. But this film that he made came out just as the World War started, the Second World War started. But it wasn't on television because we didn't have that. So it went into the cinema. So it was shown in the cinema and people could go and watch it. But it was only there for 1 or 2 days. And the Danish police stopped it with the word "were." This is far too dangerous for the Danish nation.
Are you serious?
And we cannot. I am not serious. Yes, I am. Oh. There we have got a film of Svend Tjørk. The film is called Telekinesis. It is written about and it's talked about. But do you think that I can find it? I went to Duke University in North Carolina. I went up to find, because you have lots of things there, you know. I could go in and I could do research and things like that with the Rhine, and I couldn't find it there. And I'm still looking if anybody knows anything about this film that was literally out, which was in the Danish cinema, was taken back down before the Second World War, just as it started, because it was too dangerous to show people. Where is that film?
Well, so
I have tried.
Why is it dangerous? What was their argument?
Well, because he was seeing things flying in the air. He was seeing the medium lifting in the air. He was lit.
What is shocking to me repeatedly is how hard the materialists fight this information. Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
You'd think that anything that is not fraud would be interesting to them. I mean, you know, if they can prove it's fraud, let's throw it away. Thank you for finding out it was fraud. But this was not fraud, and they still didn't want anyone to know about it because they're protecting the religion of materialism.
Absolutely.
This is what scientists still do today in this country as well. Very upsetting and stupid because it's going to make them look all the more ridiculous when all of this bursts into the public eye. I think one of the things we have to do is what you're doing, which is to pursue physical mediumship right on the cutting edge, keep going forward with it. Because when there are physical mediums who can perform in daylight and those people become known, it will be impossible for anyone to say that the dead don't survive. That's the big question. Do they survive? Well, we have abundant evidence they do, but they can debunk that evidence until in real time people are watching these things happen in light. So bless you for doing that. That's where this work really needs to be done at this point.
Mm-hmm. But what is very interesting about all the physical manifestation and mediumship and so forth, I think that because I have always been very, I don't know, see if you want to call it that, I don't just accept everything just because it has to be accepted. I like to go back and research constantly of other form of information. And what actually got me really interesting, I have to say, in phenomenons, in the fact that this has been done for generations. Now, I don't know if anybody who is now listening to me know what a blood stopper is, or somebody who stops blood.
I don't.
So that's it. We start with that.
That's right. Great. Yeah, talk about that. What is that?
Yeah, a blood stopper. I was first introduced to a gentleman in Cornwall in London, in England, and I probably go back to about 1976 or thereabout. And I was sitting in a little pub having a corny pastry for my supper when there was this young man that came up and says, "My father wants to talk to you, and he will be here in a minute." So I went, whoa. So this elderly gentleman came in. He had a staff, and he had seven sons. And we all sat around this table, and he looked straight at me, and his name was Bob Cornaway. And I just went, oh, my God. And he looked at me and says, "I have something I want to tell you." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I am a shepherd, and I go into, you know, they have flatlands in Cornwall where he goes in and he looks after the sheep and makes sure that they're okay." And he said, "I want to tell you what I have seen and what I can do, and it's something that you will understand one day, not now." And there was once upon a time, there was a motorway that was being built from London all the way down to Cornwall, but it stopped sort of with Butmin Moor, and it didn't go any further because he hadn't actually finished it yet. And he was out in the wilderness with his little boy, and suddenly he saw a car, and this car didn't stop. So it came to an abrupt end, so this car was rolling down an embankment. So he ran up to see what he could do, and a young girl was in the car, apparently her hands was out the window, and she has cut her hand, so the blood was just literally spurting out. And what he told me is he has got a way and a gift where he can stop that blood, and that he did. He said a few words, touched it, and it stopped. And he sent his little boy to the nearest telephone box, because he didn't have telephones in those days, phoned up, got hold of the ambulance. The ambulance came half an hour later. Had Bob Greenaway not been there, if you like, then this girl would have died, so he stopped the blood. And I said, well, how did he stop this blood? I couldn't quite figure out what he was talking about. Until I started to do research in Norway, North Norway, about the Arctic Circle that way, and I came in contact with a lot of Sami people. Sami is natural people. It's people who live on the land. Very close, funny enough, to the American Red Indians, because they had also lived in teepees, what we called them Lavo. They have also got drums. They also danced around the fire. And they also do a very strange sound with the throat when they do things. And they have got people in their sort of way, if you like, this kind of called Noyadit. And the Noyadit is a medium, it's a shamanic medium, and he will go into trance and things like this.
These indigenous peoples were spiritual all over the world. Now, tell us again, these people are in northern Norway, is that it?
Yes, in North Norway, North Sweden. So we have them in the northern sort of Sami countries, and same as in North Finland. But these Sami people does live by, you know, very simple means and have lived for years. But as I will say, when I was up there, I actually saw somebody who actually had a tremendous accident with one of the reindeer and, you know, cut the arm and it was really bleeding. And suddenly I see this Noyadit standing up, which is, you know, a Sami, walking over, touching the axe scarring like this or where the bleeding are, said a couple of words, took his hands off, and the axe blood totally stopped. And that is used, this is used in hospitals. I can't tell you which hospital because it's secret, but when people has internal bleedings in hospitals in Norway, they will use what is known a blood stopper.
So they don't make all the blood stop in your body. That would be very negative.
No. They actually stop the blood. So, you know, so if the blood gushes out, of course you lose an awful lot of blood, don't you?
Right.
You know, and you can die with that, because if you don't and can't get a helicopter, which you couldn't get in the old days, you need to have the blood stopped, and then you need somebody to take over.
Yeah.
But you do other things. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Then I was up there. But listen to this one. Then I was up there. And I fell over with my, you know, my foot, and then I could hardly walk on it. So another Sami woman said to me, "Well, come home, let's cure this foot." So I got home, she put my foot up on the table, took my shoes off, and you could really see the whole swelling in it. She went over to her drawer in the kitchen where she has all her knife, and then you could hear him flapping around, and she found a knife. And she came back again with this knife, and it had like a reindeer sort of handle on it, and it had all different kind of sign on it, and it was half rusty. And then she took my sock off, and she stood there, swung it in the air, and she just took this knife and gently put it up and down my foot, and you saw the swelling coming right down. There was no more swelling.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, and my foot was perfect. I could walk again. And she just took this knife, threw it back over to the kitchen, and kicked it into the drawer. That was it.
That's unbelievable.
I see these things all the time because I am researching it. I want to find out a lot of things. What was it? What is the tools that they are using? Why was it a knife? Why do we have horseshoes buried under front doors in the whole of Scandinavia, in the old castles and things like that? I really has got into research to find out what is it we all do. And now it is the Viking age in which I'm going into. And I have just been to, we call it a villing. It is a people doing back in the Viking age. It was women in specific. You can call her a witch if you like or whatever. But she also, would you believe it, used to go into trance. And where we normally sit in the cabinets, which is, to preserve all the energy, she will take her cloak and she will cloak herself and she will sit there until she fell deep in trance and voices start to speak to her. So that is also physical mediumship back in the Viking time.
Yeah, wow. So you believe these people, my ancestors and yours, were actually quite spiritual, is what
Absolutely,
you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. They were very rough, the Vikings. Really, they were very rough. But there was also a spirituality with them. There was also a belief in the gods, in Odin and Thor and things like that. And the Viking religion has now been legalized in Denmark, so you can get married Christian and buried within that belief, which is extremely interesting. And we brought that forward. Yeah. we call that Astat belief. So, you know, we have vulving, which is an incredible, interesting physical mediums kind of things that could, you know, do all sort of magic, that could heal, that could go in trance. You know, and you could call on other ancestors, you could give helping hands to people, you know, about their life, about their you know, whatever. And this is what I have gone around researching in the last couple of years now. And, of course, also been up to Greenland and have seen the most incredible things in Greenland. I'm just sitting and holding my head when I'm up in Greenland and seeing the things that's happening up there. Again, wow. Which are very natural people of nature. And when you start hearing the stories, I can't even start to tell you. You sit and you cry because of the things. But then the our nation that don't talk about it, you don't write it down. So everything is always mouth by mouth and things like that. It is absolutely unbelievable. So it is not just India or the American Indians and so forth. We have got it. Listen, people, in the cold, frozen north. We have got it there.
And we could have it in America, except that we are negative about it because we think science knows what it's doing. Of course, it does not, not anymore. And if we just allow for the possibility, we don't have to believe, you know, don't be credulous. Yeah. You want to make sure that what you're seeing is real. But as long as you open your mind at all, and if enough people do that in this country, all of this can happen here as well. Marian, what is your website?
It's the whole of my name. So it's Marian and it's Dampier and then it's hyphened. That's a little dot in the middle. In the middle. Jeans and it's .com.
Well, you must have gotten it a long time ago as I got mine. You've got your own name. That's always a wonderful thing.
It's great, isn't it? I didn't know what to do. So we're still building up it, building on it, because there's always new things that's coming in constantly. It is in Danish, Norwegian, Swedish. There's some in Icelandic. It is also in English. So it goes into many languages. So
can people reach you there? Is there a way to contact you if they have a question?
You can find my other email address in there, which is mdjuk@hotmail.com.
Okay. This is wonderful. You and I have had so much fun talking. I'm going to have to invite you back to do this again. Marian Dampier-Jeans is one of those people who is going to make the truth dawn in the world. So we owe you a lot, and I'm very grateful to you that you are doing this work. It is the Lord's work for certain, because until we all understand that life is eternal, we will not be able to make of this world a place where any of us will want our children and grandchildren to be. So this is very exciting. As you know, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I am so glad you could join us today. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you really understand all the implications of that fact, it will change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Robert Kopecky, and his new book is called How to Get to Heaven Without Really Dying, Wisdom from a Near-Death Survivor. And, you know, it's a cute title, but as I think you know, if we've been talking to each other for a while, we very seldom discuss NDEs on Seek Reality, and the reason is simple. The dead tell us that no NDE experiencer who returns to this world ever has been to where the dead really are routinely. They have to meet in what we call the astral. And so their experiences during NDEs really can't be taken as evidence of anything that actually happens at death. So I try very hard to protect you from people who would try to tell you that, well, you can see God and there's a this or a that going on. No, death is a very, frankly, uniform experience and seems to be that way all over the world. And it doesn't have any religious aspects at all. But Robert's book is different. It's in the mold of where my heart is now going with this work, which is toward helping people to develop the spirituality in themselves that we came here to develop. Basically, I guess we're taking off the veil and we're relearning what people like my ancestors, the Vikings, knew long ago. How to Get to Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's about how we should be living our lives. This person learned in his NDE about how we should be living our lives, and frankly, I think it's terrific. So this book is good in itself, but its author is also a deeply thoughtful man. Please join us next week, and we'll talk with him. Now, today our guest has been Marion Dampier Jeans, and Marion is a British and Scandinavian medium, and she's an expert on so many interesting things. We're going to have her back just to talk about more of them. She's naturally gifted. She's involved with spiritualist churches. She's bringing all of this knowledge now back to her Scandinavian home. As the veil is thinning now, and as it continues to thin, people like Marion are going to be leading the way. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, and for young children, The Fun of Meeting Jesus. You can order them through bookstores or on Amazon.com, and they're available as audiobooks as well, except for the children's book. If you want to talk about any of my books, or if you really want to talk about anything at all, you can always contact me through RobertaGrimes.com. I always answer emails. Just be sure you've given me your correct email address, because I hate it when they don't go through. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, and through the Seek Reality app that you can find for free in the iTunes store. Earlier episodes are also being broadcast on Dream Vision 7 Radio. Wonderful people. And if you ever are wondering where you can hear me now, just go to the radio tab on robertagrimes.com. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, never forgetting, always knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.